Good evening and welcome to our Wednesday night Bible study from Rawls Baptist Church that we are doing online because of the coronavirus. Before we get started, I would like to give a big shout out to several people that are making the ministry of Rawls Baptist Church possible during this time of isolation. A lot of people have been praying from home. Myself and some of the leaders from the elder board and deacon board have gathered on Sunday mornings and prayed while our church is not meeting. And many of you have been sending out cards and texts and encouraging others in our church family. And I really appreciate how the church family is staying together while we can't gather together. And I think everybody would join me in giving a great big thank you to the work that Tanya Nutt has done with the email ministry. She is tirelessly and sacrificially connecting information that needs to go out, every update, every prayer request, everything I've asked her and we have asked her as a church, she has done. She'd be the last one that would want any recognition or credit. But Tanya, we are very, very grateful for the important email ministry that you have and continue to do a great work for us. Now, as we continue our study of the Kingdom and Covenants, we are seeing the Kingdom program built through the patriarchs. We left off last time with the introduction of Moses and a brief look at Moses' introduction to God's Kingdom program as the on-earth representative as he leads it. And we have developed a theme of God's Kingdom program versus Satan's counterfeit program running parallel with one another and each having an earthly representative of each. So now we'll look at Moses and the Mosaic Law. We'll cover tonight more detail about who Moses is and what he was called to do. And then next week, we will look at the Mosaic Law and how it impacted the Abrahamic covenant and God's Kingdom program. God develops his kingdom by developing a nation through the patriarchs. God chose and made a covenant with Abraham. He promised Abraham that he would be the father of many people, a great nation, and other nations would be blessed through him. God continues his promise through Abraham's descendants, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. At the conclusion of Genesis, Joseph has been sovereignly placed by God in Egypt to provide food for Israel. Joseph had gained great respect and a prominent position in the house of Pharaoh in Egypt. Then Joseph dies, and a time passes. A new king of Egypt, and this new king is not familiar with Joseph and or his deeds. Don't forget that God takes this event in Joseph's life where his brother sold him out and meant it for evil. God takes that and works it together in his divine sovereign plan to accomplish his purpose. In Genesis 50, verse 26, so Joseph died at the age of 110 years, and he was embalmed and placed in a coffin in Egypt. And then in Exodus 1:8, we discover, now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. At that time, God made his covenant with Abraham and promised that his descendants would be many. He also made a prediction that they both come true in Egypt. Genesis 15, verses 13 through 15, and God said to Abram, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. But I will also judge the nation whom they will serve, and afterward they will come out with many possessions. The new king was fearful of Israel becoming mightier than the Egyptians, going to war against them and leaving the land. Exodus chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. And he said to his people, "Behold, the people of the sons of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and in the event of war, they also join themselves to those who hate us and fight against us and depart from the land." In order to prevent this from occurring, the king ordered that every male child born to the Hebrews be killed and cast them into the Nile River. Exodus 1:22, "Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, 'Every son born who is born, you are to cast into the Nile, and every daughter you shall keep alive.'" Through this, God raises up a deliverer for his people Israel, and that deliverer's name is known as Moses. God supernaturally brings about a deliverer for the people of Israel, God's people, God's nation. Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. "Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds of the bank of the Nile. And his sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile, and her maidens walking alongside the Nile and saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid and said, and she brought it to her. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying. And she had pity on him and said, 'This one of the Hebrews' children.' Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go ahead.' So the girl went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages.' So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses and said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" Now, we learned last week briefly that Moses lives 120 years, and his life's going to be divided up into three segments. The first 40 years, the second 40 years, and the last 40 years, a total of 120 years. So let's look at Moses and how he spent the first 40 years of his life growing up in the house of Pharaoh as an Egyptian. Here he was educated. He became familiar with the life and the customs of the Egyptian people. God was preparing and equipping Moses for a task to which he would call him. In Acts chapter 7, verses 17 through 23, Luke informs us with these words, "But as the time of the promise was approaching, which God had assured to Abraham, the people increased and multiplied in Egypt, until there arose another king over Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph. It was he who took shrewd advantage of our race and mistreated our fathers so that they would expose their infants and they would not survive. And it was at this time that Moses was born, and he was lovely in the sight of God, and he was nurtured 3 months in his father's home. And after he had been exposed, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and nurtured him as her own. And Moses was educated in all the learning of the Egyptians. And he was a man of power in words and deeds. But when he was approaching the age of 40, it entered his mind to visit his brethren and the sons of Israel. So we see that the first 40 years of Moses' life, God sovereignly and with his hand upon the nation of Israel through the patriarchs, provides a deliverer for his people out of the land of Egypt. Now, the second 40 years of Moses' life, God reveals to Moses that first, he is a Hebrew. Moses defends one of his brothers who is being mistreated by an Egyptian taskmaster and kills the Egyptian. The next day, while trying to help two Hebrews who are fighting, Moses is confronted about killing the Egyptian. Moses becomes fearful and flees from the land of Midian. It is there that he spends the next 40 years of his life as a shepherd. It is here that God continues to equip and train Moses for the special task to which he is calling him. In Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 through 22, we read that God is working in the life of Moses. He's taken Moses, who spent basically the first 40 years of his life believing that he was somebody, and takes him out into the wilderness and shows him that he's really nobody. And then we'll see later in the last 40 years that how God, who takes an individual who thinks he's somebody, shows him that they're a nobody. And then the last 40 years, how God can take somebody who thinks they're nobody and do something through them as they're humbled by how God works in their life. So let's look at Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. Now it came about in those days when Moses had grown up that he went out to his brethren and looked on the hard labors, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that, and when he saw that there was no one around, he struck the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And he went out the next day, and behold, two Hebrews were fighting with each other. And he said to the offender, "Why are you striking your companion?" But he said, "Who made you a prince or a judge over us? Are you intending to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid, and he said, "Surely the matter has become known." When Pharaoh heard this matter, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from the presence of Pharaoh and settled in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came to draw water and fill the troughs to water their father's flocks. Then the shepherd came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flocks. When they came to Reuel, their father, he said, "Why have you come back so soon today?" So they said, "An Egyptian delivered us from the hand of the shepherds. And what is more, he even drew the water for us and watered the flock." And he said to his daughters, "Where is he then? Why is it that you have left the man behind? Invite him to have something to eat. And Moses was willing to dwell with the man, and he gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses. Then she gave birth to a son and named him Gershom, for he said, I have been a sojourner in a foreign land. We see how this is used in Acts chapter 7, verses 24 through 30, as Luke records it. And when he saw one of them being treated unjustly, he defended him and took vengeance on the oppressed by striking down an Egyptian. And he supposed that his brethren understood that God was granting them deliverance through him, but they did not understand. And on the following day, he appeared to them as they were fighting together. And he tried to reconcile them in peace, saying, Men, you are brethren. Why do you injure one another? But the one who was injuring his neighbor pushed him away, saying, Who made you a ruler over us? You do not mean to kill us as you killed the Egyptian yesterday, do you? And at this remark, Moses fled and became an alien in the land of Midian, where he became the father of two sons. And after 40 years had passed, here's the second 40 years, now Moses is 80, an angel appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai in the flaming of a burning thorn bush. Now we have the call of Moses after 80 years of his life. So basically God takes two-thirds of his life to equip Moses for doing the work of the ministry that he's going to call him to. Now, after equipping Moses these 80 years, God calls him to deliver the nation of Israel from bondage. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Now, Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flocks to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord, that's a theophany, this is the pre-incarnate Christ, appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight. Why the bush is not burned up? When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said also, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses hid his face for he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters. For I am aware of their sufferings. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the lands to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. And now, behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, come now, and I will send to you Pharaoh, so that many people, you may bring my people the sons of Israel out of Egypt. But Moses said to him, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt?" And he said, "Certainly I will be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain." Then Moses said to God, "Behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I shall say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' Now they may say to me, 'What is this name? What shall I say to them?' And God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Thus shall I say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you.' And God furthermore said to Moses, 'Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, and the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all the generations.'" So here we see that God is keeping his promise to the descendants of Abraham. Twice in this passage, it is mentioned that God has called Moses, that he has prepared Moses, that he has instructed Moses what to do, and that he has referred to himself as the Lord, as the God of your fathers, the patriarchs. First, the God of Abraham, repeated, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and now the God of Moses, who is called. Luke also uses this in Acts chapter 7, verses 30 through 36. "And after 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai in the flame of a burning bush. And when Moses saw it, he began to marvel at the sight. And as he approached, he looked more closely there. And there came the voice of the Lord, 'I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob.' And Moses shook with fear and would not venture to look on which you are standing, to look upon God. But God said to him, 'Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt and have heard their groans, and I have come down to deliver them. Come now, and I will send you to Egypt. This Moses, whom they disown, saying, "Who made you a ruler and a judge?" is the one whom God sent to be both ruler and deliverer, with the help of the angel who appeared to him in the thorn bush. This man led them out, performing wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. So they're going to, in the middle of the 80 years of Moses' life, two-thirds of it after he's 80, he is called. He's going to lead the people out, and he's going to perform wonderful signs in the land of Egypt as he leads them out, the parting of the Red Sea that we're all familiar with. And then they're going to wander around in the wilderness for the next 40 years. So the last 40 years of Moses' life was spent shepherding and leading God's nation, Israel, in the wilderness. A task that God had prepared him for 40 years as he was tending the sheep in the wilderness. Now he's going to tend to God's people in the wilderness. So Israel is delivered. The people of Israel cried out to God, and God remembered his covenant. Not that he had forgotten it, but he acted upon it because of them crying out. With Abraham, he remembered that covenant with Abraham, and he sent Moses to deliver the Hebrews. Exodus 2, chapter Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. Now it came about in the course of those days that the king of Egypt died, and the sons of Israel sighed because of the bondage. And they cried out, and their cry for help because of their bondage rose up to God, God hearing their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God saw the sons of Israel, and he took notice of them. God used 10 plagues or miracles to accomplish exactly what he had designed them to accomplish in delivering his people. Pharaoh's initial response to God's command to liberate his covenant people was one of resistance, Exodus chapter 5, verse 2. But Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and besides, I will not let Israel go." So at the conclusion of the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn male, Pharaoh was finally broken. We find this in Exodus chapter 12, verses 31 through 32. Then he called for Moses and Aaron at night and said, "Rise up, get out from among my people, both you and the sons of Israel, and go worship the Lord as you have said. Take both your flocks and your herds as you have said, and go and bless me also." Pharaoh had come to the point where he acknowledged the authority of God and recognized Moses as God's administrator, for he had sought a blessing from God through Moses. Now, the 10th plague in Egypt was also designated to provide Israel an opportunity to demonstrate faith that produced obedience that would in turn produce redemption. God demonstrated the extent of his sovereign authority over all of his creation by passing judgment on all the firstborn in Egypt, the firstborn of the Egyptians, the firstborn of the Israelites, and the firstborn of the cattle. God also demonstrated his right to rule and that he was gracious and merciful, a gracious and merciful God, by providing a way of escape from the impending judgment through a blood sacrifice. The point was that God's judgment would either be carried out on the firstborn or executed on an innocent substitute for the firstborn. The blood of the animal sacrifice was to be applied to the top and both sides of the entrance of the house, Exodus chapter 12, verse 7. "Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. Then those for whom the sacrifice was offered were to enter, literally, through blood into the security of the house." This act of obedience would demonstrate personal faith in the provision of God, the provision in the that God had made, and the peace, though and the peace those within experienced was the result of their faith in the God who promised that the blood would be a sign. Exodus chapter 12, verse 13, "And the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And where I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." God will pass over. He will pass judgment. And it is also seen as a protector of those who have placed their faith in him and who have, by faith, appropriated for themselves God's provision to escape this judgment. this judgment that he had promised against those that were not protected by the blood. As Israel left the bondage of Egypt, they became a redeemed people and began a journey by faith that was to take them into the land of promise, the land that was promised in the Abrahamic covenant, amplified by the Palestinian covenant, where they would receive the blessing of the covenant. By redemption through faith, the people became God's people. Isaiah conveys this truth in Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now, thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. It is critical to understand at this point that the nation of Israel as a nation was redeemed. They were taken out of the kingdom of darkness. Egypt was designated as the kingdom over which God ruled through his delegated ruler, Moses. By way of the first Passover and deliverance, Exodus, the redeemed nation, became the people through whom God's theocracy and kingdom would be established here on earth. Now, God has, through these patriarchs, continued his kingdom, and he is going to give another covenant. This covenant, though, unlike the Abrahamic covenant, being an everlasting covenant, this covenant is going to come alongside of the Abrahamic covenant, and it's not going to be an everlasting covenant. And next week, we will take a look at this covenant that God is going to give through Moses, which is known as the Mosaic covenant or the law. Now, during this time that we are continuing to go through the quarantine of the coronavirus, Friday, the coronavirus has called the governor or the mayor of Wake County, or the leader of Wake County, is going to issue or has issued a stay in place, and that's going to cause us not to have our drive-in church, and that's going to go through April the 17th, and then they'll reevaluate. So let's prayerfully consider how we can reach out to one another, do things that are within the law that we have been called to do, being obedient to the commands of the government. And hopefully this will be lifted. And if we can't meet as a church in the church building, we will attempt to do the drive-in church again. So thank you for tuning in. And until we are able to meet again, know that I am praying for you. And if there's anything at all that you need, contact me or one of the elders or deacons, and we will continue to reach out through email. And take care.